This is the Studio Alchemy Podcast, episode 114, an interview with mystic artist Zhaji Ives. Our quote of the day is said by Danny Gregory, who has also been a guest on this show, "Draw what you live so that you can live more deeply." Hello, everyone. The purpose of this podcast is to explore creative ways to transform our lives. Alchemy was the ancient study of changing materials from one thing into another, and we all do this every day. Every choice you make is transforming our world. On this podcast, we hunt for the wise balance between accepting what is and taking empowered action. My name is Addie Hirschton. I am an artist. I teach art classes and have written a few books, including The Alchemy of Art, Stories for the Classroom, The Alchemy of Painting, Developing Your Style and Purpose, Start Selling Your Art, A Guide to Starting a Professional Art Business, and that one is available to just listen to on Audible. And my latest book, The Alchemy of Symbols, How to Use the Power of Images to Transform Your Life. To find out more about my projects, classes, and to sign up for my art newsletter, I invite you to go to my website, studioalchemy.art. And now our topic of the day is an interview with Zhaji Ives. Zhaji is a life empowerment coach and human design specialist, mystic artist, and intuitive channel who loves to guide and inspire others to create their aligned life with ease. Her studio is located just outside of Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. Inspired by the sacred bloom within us all, she gathers inspiration from nature to translate flowers and figures into intuitive blooming paintings, using a combination of materials to create sacred artworks that will raise your vibration. Love that. That's what she sent me. So to find out more about Zhaji, you want to go to www.zhajiives.com. And now here's my interview with Zhaji.
Hey, Zhaji, welcome to the show. Welcome.
Thank you for having me, Addie.
Yes. Well, I'd love for you to tell us about your unusual name. What's the story behind it? Let's start with
yes.
that.
This is like my lifelong question. What is Zhaji and how did you come by that? So my name Zhaji is a nickname and it's short for Zhajahan, which is Arabic. And I was named by telegram from Sri Lanka. My parents did not name me because I was born into a Sufi community. And our teacher, our guru, was the one who sent my name via telegram. And I actually still have the telegram in my baby book. Zhajahan is my name. And it means, in Arabic, it means king of the world, which I like to remind my family of.
Of course.
Yes. And in Tamil, which is what I was named for, it means the beauty and grace of God's gaze. And it's a really, you know, I really believe that people are born into the place and space that they need to be in. And my entire life, I have been a spiritual seeker. And even, you know, being born into that community, I feel like was such a gift because it gave me this relationship to seeking the truth that exists within from a very young age. And, you know, it's kind of brought me, honestly, it's driven everything in my life, you know, my art, my life, everything.
Okay. Awesome. Awesome. Well, I love your name. It's beautiful. So what's the story of how you became an artist and a coach and what's
the, and all the other things?
I love hearing how people's careers unfold and how, especially when I think it's somebody like you who they move with the tide of what's they're called to do next. So tell us that story.
First of all, I love that because I definitely say I flow with where my energy wants to flow.
Right.
And as an artist, it has always flowed to expressing myself and creativity. I was the kid who was always at the kitchen table working on some project or another. And that continued all through my life and in high school. I went through a period where I was like, I'm really good at arguing. I should be a lawyer because that's practical. And my heart was thankfully won out, and my heart was like, no, you really can't do that. And so I ended up going, my first degree was from the University of the Arts. I did a BFA in art education, as well as metalsmithing and woodworking and fine arts. And then I actually worked as a art director at a gallery for a bit. I worked as a art consultant, and then I went and got another degree. I went back for my master's because I'll just be honest, I went and got my master's in Rome because I wanted
Oh,
to live in Rome.
okay.
I also wanted to go back into an environment where I was dedicating myself to exploring the arts. I had been a gallery artist at that point. I had a gallery that represented me in Houston. I had done shows, actually all over the world at that point. But I went to Tyler and I lived in Rome, and it was the best decision I've ever made. And it just expanded like what I wanted to do. And after that, I actually taught college for a bit at Tyler School of Art. I taught two different classes, and that sort of stopped when I got pregnant and was expecting my first child. And I think I was due the first week of the semester. And I joked, they wanted me back. And I said, I don't think you want a performance art class where I go into labor on the first day of classes. So I declined, and I took about a year to sort of just like quietly be in my own zone of being a new mother, of creating. And it was a really interesting time for me, because I realized that what my the way my life had been as an artist, it had always shifted with where my life was, and now I was fully immersed in being a mother. And I ended up starting a company off of a piece of art that I made for my child.
Oh.
I made him a mobile, because
Okay.
I was like, I want something beautiful to hang in his room, to, all the doctors say, like, put a mobile to teach hand eye, whatever. I don't know. It was like I was reading books and they were saying mobiles are good. I was like, all right, great. And I looked at everything and I thought, these things are so ugly. I don't want any of this. And so instead, I made a sculpture that hung over my son's crib.
Okay.
And that became a company because everyone would come over and say, I love what you have over the crib. Oh, yeah, your baby's cute too. Where can I get that sculpture? And I was like, okay, I'll make you one. And so for actually the past almost 14 years, I worked as an artist. I built a company called Baby Jives Co. And I made art for babies and families. And I jokingly say, like, I brought fine art to that arena because I didn't want, I was like, just because you have a baby doesn't mean you have to have ugly stuff around
Right,
you.
right.
Babies don't know what they're looking at. You can teach them taste from a very early age. And so, that was kind of what happened. And I did it for 14 years. And while I started to do it, I started to coach other artists because I found a lot of success. Like my company grew, I was making multiple six figures every year. I was employing other women, which was really important to me. At one time, I was, my products were available in Crate and Barrel and Nordstrom and
Oh, wow.
like, yeah. So it grew really big, and I had never intended that, but as it grew, I learned, and
Yeah.
then I started teaching other people how to do that.
Okay.
And I found that I liked empowering people more than I liked telling them, like, here's the, I'm not a t I'm I always joke, I'm like, I'm not an accountant and I'm not a lawyer because I never went into that. I'm the person who's back there like cheering you on and empowering
Yes.
you and showing you how
Yes.
you can do it.
Yes.
And so that started sort of shifting into my focus for coaching is I
Okay.
realized what I really wanted to do, what I was really passionate about was inspiring people to follow their dreams, like to listen to themselves. And so that's sort of what my coaching became about. And now as a, and And during that same time, I discovered human design. And I realized when I discovered it for myself, I was like, oh my goodness, this literally tells the story of everything that I've been feeling is off in my life is written into my human design, because I was going with what society told me I should do instead of listening to that inner voice who was screaming at me going, don't do that, don't do that. Yeah. But I was going, well, but so-and-so is a professional and they're an expert and they say I should do it this way. And realizing that I had been working in a way that was so unaligned in certain ways, and the ways that felt off in my life were where I was listening to other people and working against who I was. And the ways that felt aligned in my life and were really easy and really peaceful were where I had been operating according to, like, in my human design, this is how I should have naturally operated. And when I found that out, I was like, I just want to learn more. And so I've been studying it deeply for the past 4 years. And now I incorporate that into my coaching. And that's really become the focus of when I closed my baby company this past summer.
Okay.
And because I was like, this isn't aligned with me anymore.
Yeah.
And I'm done. And everybody told me I was crazy because they're like, you built this massive company. Why would you do that? And I was like, it's not for me anymore.
Okay.
And so yeah. So now I help other people I often help people navigate change, honestly.
Okay.
And kind of bring them back into alignment with my art as well as with the coaching. And so it all sort of mingles together now.
Yes. Wonderful. Yeah. So, and my next question has to do with your art. So I just love your pieces that layer the human body with symbols. And yeah, how did you develop that style? What inspires those pieces? And maybe you want to share, you know, what one latest piece and a couple of the symbols that are in it.
Yeah. Well, that honestly is like, I think like most artists, we have these visions in our head and they just sort of come to us. And then we go, ooh, that's really delightful. How am I going to bring that into the world? First question is, am I meant to bring this into the world? Yeah. And usually it's like, if it keeps coming back and coming back, you're like, okay, this is ready for me. And for me, I've always thought in terms of embodiment. And I've always had this connection to people, to the human form and nature. And so the pieces that I'm working on right now are these, I call them, you know, like your sacred bloom portraits or these embodiment pieces. And one that I just finished, actually I'm working on a series right now that's then taking what I'm learning in human design. I'm studying all these gates and I'm finding the person who has this information within them. Because in human design, there's 64 gates. I'm not, the rabbit hole we can go down to. For right now, I'm just going to say that I'm taking a person. I'm having a conversation with them. Like all of my models, I bring them in knowing I have this idea. I want to study this gate. For instance, my friend Trisha, I brought her in and I did gate 11, which is the gate of ideas. And it's this gate that essentially, I always say, it's the person who has a million ideas and they're all, I'm like, I want to look at your human design. And I will probably after this, and we'll find out if you have gate 11. I have gate 11 and it is the person who's the idea factory. And it's almost overwhelming. You say like, if I had 5,000 lifetimes, maybe I could get to all these ideas.
Maybe.
And the thing about gate 11 is it's actually, the ideas are meant to bloom within you and cocoon within you until the time when not all of them are for you. Not all of those ideas are for you to go out and make it happen because you would need 5,000 lifetimes.
Right.
And so I met with Trisha, I took images of her, you know, kind of focusing on this gate is located in our head, or actually it's in our ajna in human design. And I took images of her and then I translated it into like a very minimal line drawing, sort of reducing her down to her essence.
Okay.
And then I had this idea as we were just talking about it of, it's like cocooning, it's like growing. And I had this idea of these flowers blooming and all these butterflies cocooned, going from caterpillar, because that's what an idea is. It's like it crawls into you like a caterpillar crawling onto a flower branch. And then certain ideas spin into a cocoon. They stay in that branch of your mind.
Right. Okay.
And not all of them come to fruition. Sometimes the birds come in, sometimes, you know, like they freeze. But the ones that are meant to come out of that cocoon and emerge as the butterfly do. And so that was the image that I ended up creating for this image. So it's essentially an image of Trisha with her hands in the lotus position over her head. So lotus position, if you know mudras, is about welcoming in, sort of drawing in inspiration and energy. And so you'll see mudras in my work a lot too. I've been studying yoga for decades now. And it's just this emergence of her with her hands in the lotus position and the outline of her covered in flowers and caterpillars and cocoons and butterflies and sort of capturing the essence of what this idea is. And so that's kind of welcome to my brain. You just went through it with me. That's where it comes from.
Nice. Well, they are beautiful. I love them. Yes.
Thank you. Yeah. And they're like meditations. It's like when and I think a lot of artists, I'm going to speak for all of us artists right now, but I feel like we enter this state of flow and sometimes we just don't even understand what's happening on the paper until we go with it. Like, you know, it's, you have an idea. It's this like glimmer. You get in front of your materials, you start pulling things together. And then for me, almost sometimes creating is almost like stepping back into my body and watching something happen where I'm almost like the audience. It's almost like it's happening in front of me and I'm in this meditative flow state. And when I come out of it, I'm like, oh, look at that. That's really wonderful. That's not where I thought it was going, but thank goodness it did.
Yes. Yeah. I think sometimes we have to react to the materials and intuitively as we're going through it, because you get that glimmer. I love that phrase you just said. You get a glimmer, the spark of an idea, and then you start it, but it might come out a little differently than what you originally thought.
Yeah. And I think a lot of times when it comes out differently, we have to have that like integration period sometimes. Sometimes we like it right away. And other times, I don't know about you, but I've definitely finished pieces and been like, I'm not sure about this. And I'll put it aside. And weeks later, I'll find it and go, ooh, okay, now I see why that came out of me. Or sometimes it goes into the scrap pile and becomes fodder for something different.
Yeah, this is true. That also happens. Awesome. Yeah. Okay, so next question. In your coaching sessions, what words of encouragement or themes do you talk about most with people?
Empowerment. It's like it always comes and reclaiming who you are. I think that's like if I had a soapbox, it would be that we are, and my children will laugh because they know this, they hear this from me all the time, is like, who you were born to be is exactly who you are. And the more you dig into this, knowing your own story, like truly rooting into who you are and seeing the beauty of who you are and appreciating that and not hiding it. Because that's the thing. It's like, I think in our world, especially, there's a lot of fear that comes with being your unique self.
Yeah.
Because we don't necessarily quite fit in, because nobody's ever been the person who you are here to be. And the gift of knowing who you were born to be is that you can be that person fully. And you know what's interesting is, like, so most, like I said, a lot of my coaching centers on helping people understand their human design. And more than anything, what I find with my clients is they come away going, I feel seen. I feel like you understand me. We've never met before, and I'm helping them. I'm telling them the story that's in their design of who they're here to be. And I mean, I've done hundreds of readings at this point, and everyone goes, wow, how did you know that about me? I'm like, it's literally written into who you are. And even the parts that we hide are there. And so that's the thing. It's like when we know that's within us, and it's been asking, everybody knows what's within you, you know, but it's like we call them deep, dark secrets, or like our deepest, most dreams. We don't share them with everyone, but those dreams are in there for a reason. Like we are seeded with so many dreams, so many possibilities, and we talk ourselves out of it.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And when we talk ourselves out of it, we're not the only ones losing out on that. Everyone is.
Yes.
And so that's the thing. It's like, I'm here to help people see how beautiful and how powerful and how perfect they are,
mm-hmm.
and how they are really meant to be going towards what's pulling them forward. Because I think a lot of times what I hear from a lot of people that I coach is they feel tired. And they feel lost and they feel exhausted. And it's because they've been hiding themselves and they've been telling themselves that they can't have what their heart is dreaming of because it's not practical, it's not possible. And here's the thing, like, I really believe, and I've seen this in action. If I hadn't taken many leaps to my, like, when my kid was born and I made that mobile, I just made it out of a whim. Or now I know it was a creative urge. You know, manifestors have these internal nonverbal creative urges. And I just did it. And then when someone said, hey, will you make me one? I was like, yeah, sure. That was the spark. If I had said, no, I really don't, you know, it was a yeah, sure, because I had the energy for it.
Mm-hmm.
If I hadn't had the energy for it, like I talked to lots of artists who are like, oh yeah, well, you know, I'm doing this commission and I really don't love it. And I'm like, if you're doing it and you don't love it, it's actually going to be incredibly hard to create it.
Mm-hmm.
And you're closing off space for something else that's wanting to come into your life.
Right. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so I really believe, like, when we follow our passions, and if you listen to people, like, I'm like, I love self-development, and I listen to people who are really, like, you know, Jamie Lynn Kerna or Kern Lima. I'm like slaughtering her name. She just wrote a book called Worthy.
Okay.
And I'm working through it. It just came out a few weeks ago. And it's really like this book about, like, she followed her dreams, even when people told her she was crazy, even when people told her, you know, you shouldn't do that. And I think as artists, like, we're used to hearing, like, you're crazy, you're never going to make any money. Like, what are all, like, the top 10 lies that artists are told is you're nobody's going to care about what you do. You're never going to make money doing what you do. You're not valuable. I'm just going to go with those three, because here's the thing. Look around at our world and look at everything innovative out there. It was created by a creative. Artists are invaluable in our community. And I just, like, that's the thing that I think I'm most passionate about, is teaching people how valuable they are and how when they go after what lights them up, they're actually going in the right direction.
Yes.
And so, yeah, so I think that's my, it's like, that's my soapbox, is like, don't do stuff that you hate. It's not worth it, because it's literally going to kill you.
Yeah.
It's, you know, it's like dis-ease is disease. When your body is in a state of unease, it causes, as you get older, when you're younger, you can probably deal with it.
Right.
As you get older, when people are misaligned in life, it actually starts coming into the body. And so it's like, yeah, you know what? Like, and I love Elizabeth Gilbert's book, Big Magic.
Oh, yeah.
'Cause she, that's like one of my favorites. And she talks about, you know, when, and I think this is for when you're just starting out in the arts, maybe have another job. Like, don't make your art your job. but your art can absolutely support you.
Yeah.
And you might want to like weave it in.
I mean, yeah, I'm reminded. I gotta tell you, I had a friend recently who told me that years ago, her daughter had a magic wand toy that she would shake. She'd shake it and it would light up and it would say, "You will now return to your true form." And I have no idea what, you know, what product this was, or, you know, if it was linked with this.
I think I almost bought that wand for my children. I remember that product.
Oh, you do? Okay. Yeah. Okay. Well, she told me about this and then I kept thinking about it. Yeah. I will now return to my true form. And paired with this, I had read some career thing. I read so many self-help things like you do. And it's like, I can't even tell you which one it was, but they said, if you're looking for some direction, maybe go back to your childhood. What did you love to do? What was your favorite thing when you were in the fifth grade? Mm-hmm. And I thought about it and I loved hosting parties. And then I realized, oh, you know, when I teach my art classes, it's so much like hosting a party. You pick the theme, you pick the decorations, you pick the step-by-step what we're going to do. You send out the invitations. It's like all those things. I loved that. And, but, you know, and then I've thought of other ways in which, you know, perhaps younger versions of me that were perhaps more authentic got squashed. And
yeah,
if I can revive them and return to my true form, that would be wonderful.
So exactly. Well, and in personal development, the goal of it is to undo the conditioning. Like you said, those stories that everybody's told you about who you're supposed to be.
Right. Yeah.
That you know in your core of your being are not true.
Yeah.
But we shut ourselves down. We shut down those dreams, you know, because somebody, when you were like 10, you said, when I get older, I'm going to host parties. And someone's like, that's not realistic. Although event coordinators get paid bank. So like, there's plenty of people. And here's the thing. It's like all these positions that happen out there, the dreamers are the ones who keep moving us forward. The people who say to those people who say, that's not realistic, you should become an accountant, and say, no, I'm going to host the most amazing parties ever. And there are people who, you know, like that, what was it? The installation that was like, well, actually Meow Wolf. Yeah. Have you heard of that? It's like an artist, basically Meow Wolf. They have one in Santa Fe. They have them all over the world now.
Okay.
But they're basically huge artist installations. You go into these artists took over warehouses.
Okay.
And it's like you walk through, it is like a theme park made by artists.
Okay.
It's an immersive experience. If you go on Instagram, you'll find many people who have, you know, taken pictures, myself included.
Okay.
But what if those people, and I know they're making really good money because you pay like $30 to go in there for the day, but it is my kind of amusement park.
Okay.
It is like a walking museum amusement park, and it's amazing. And what if those people who created it had said, oh, that's not realistic. We should go get jobs with accountants. We would all be missing out. And so that's the thing. It's like when you have dreams within you, those are seeds waiting to grow, and you can choose to water them and nurture them.
Yeah.
Or you can choose to stuff them down. And then they're going to start growing inside you, and they're going to get really uncomfortable. If they're meant to grow through you, it's going to be like severe discomfort.
Yes. Discomfort. Yes.
Yeah. And that's, no, we don't want that. We don't want that. And that's the thing. It's like, I think the more people lean into believing that what they're dreaming of is possible and moving towards it, the happier, honestly, like the more happy people get, the less, you know, my theory is all the shit that happens in the world is because people are discontent and they just want other people to feel uncomfortable. And then, or they're trying to control other people. It's like, if you think about war, it's all about control. And anyway, we could go down that pipeline. We're not going to, but it's like, just let's focus on you. Like, let's focus on what makes you happy. And chances are it's going to make other people happy. Like, I'm sure you're the people who buy your art are really happy that you're choosing to make it. And the people who come to your studio to be in your classes are really happy that you're choosing to host that. And it's like, that's great. You know, and if you had decided, oh, I can't do this, it's not reasonable. And the people who are reading your book on symbolism, like, are really happy that you put it out there because that's what they've been looking for. And they're like thirstily drinking it up.
Yes.
So,
indeed. Yeah. All right. So, next question. So many rabbit holes, I must say. Yeah. We could be
I know.
This path, this path. But okay, focused on the questions. Yeah. Okay, so I've just finished the book on symbolism that you just mentioned, The Alchemy of Symbols. But what's your favorite symbol and why? And I know it's hard to pick favorites.
It really is. That's kind of like saying, like, what's your favorite child and why? I love all symbols. I'm obsessed with symbolism. I'm excited. I'm like, I definitely need to see your book, and I haven't gotten it yet. But my favorite symbol is, I would say, the symbol I use the most right now is the seed of life. And it, you know, in sacred geometry, there's all these symbols that relate to God, everything, you know, the universe, but they activate as well. Like, sacred geometry is this, and it goes back, and it, I have studied all of these things, and they, you know, go back thousands of years, and you can find, I think, like, the first seed of life, you can find representation of it maybe in Egypt, maybe beyond. But symbols hold such power, and the seed of life is made with seven overlapping circles. It's one circle in the center and six overlapping, and it's a symbol of oneness. Okay. And it represents the unity and the interconnectedness of everything, hence the seed. Okay. And from the seed of life, you can create the flower of life. You can create all these different things. And it all starts with a circle.
Yeah.
And I just think it's like, it's just this beautiful symbol that is this potential. It's the seed of potential that lives within us, and that we start. And I use it within my coaching. You know, when I take people through the human design and through their gates, I use it to help them learn about what the gifts and the challenges that they have within them are. I have them write it into one seed that I say is to weed, which is like all the things that, you know, we get into when we're not being ourselves, when we're listening to everyone else and saying, it's not right to be me. And so I use it as a way for people to visually, because I'm a visual artist, like, remember, oh, here's the, you know, here's the weeds that I get into. Here's the stories that I tell myself when I'm not being myself. And then I use the seed of life to also do what we want, the seeds, what we want to grow. All the things that are when we're being ourselves, when we're being in our power, when we're being the truth of who we are. And I have people put it into the seed of life because it is sacred geometry and it activates it in a certain way. And also, you know, help, it's sort of like a Venn diagram. So it sort of helps people see the, you know, the themes that will come up over and over again. But yeah, I mean, that's one of my favorites. And I also use the seed of life, like, you can make it into a crystal grid, which I love. And like, if you do that sort of thing, which I do, because I, one, love all things crystal and shiny, and two, definitely have always felt a connection with them. You know, currently I've like, I have crystal curations on my desk to, you know, connect with different things. And actually in my paintings, I paint with crystal pigments. Yeah, I use watercolors, not all of my watercolors, but a good amount of them are actually made from ground crystal pigments. So like lapis lazuli and amethyst and things like that.
Oh, wow.
And it just adds this other level of vibration to it.
Yeah.
So
for sure. Yeah. Well, Jaji, thank you so much for coming on the podcast. It's been a delight chatting with you. Do you have any final thoughts for our listeners? I think you're being called to
I was going to say, I feel like my final thought is that if you are feeling like you have been listening to everyone else tell you who you were born to be, question it. Question it, and also look into what that story actually is. And, you know, you can do that through journaling, like asking yourself what feels raw, like off, or what doesn't resonate with you.
Right.
Asking, like, I love to do that when I feel like I've reached a point where, you know, something doesn't feel right. I'll just sit in front of a journal and ask the question of, like, what do I need to know about this? And just see what happens. Don't try to think it. Just let it flow, you know? And that's one of the things that, like, I think human design is so good for, because essentially it shows you the story of who you were born to be. And that's why I'm so passionate about it, because there's an entire story within you that can help you find what that alignment is, like find what your true story. Like you were saying, I'm wondering if I'm a manifesting generator because I do many things. Chances are, I'm going to guess you probably are. Manifesting generators tend to be multi-passionate. And when the world tells you, focus on one thing and just do that really well, that's terrible advice for you. Literally, terrible, terrible advice for you. You're actually meant to be multi-passionate. And when you try to focus on one thing, you feel trapped and frustrated.
Yeah. Okay.
And so that's why I always say, like, go look up your human design. I've got a free thing on my site. You can go look up your free human design chart. Find out that first step of, like, what type you are. And then I have all sorts of free resources on my site, because I'm an artist and I'm a big believer in, like, yes, there's people who come to me for one-to-one, and that, you know, is a paid service, but I just want to help everyone. I'm like, I want to help everybody live in alignment. And so that's really, like, why I show up in so many ways. And on Instagram, I'm constantly sharing things, art, education, you know, entertainment. Sometimes it's, you know, me not dancing. You probably won't see me dancing, but telling, sharing stories more. I'm not a you know,
right. Yeah.
We haven't gotten to that level.
Yeah, sure. And I think you do have to share a certain amount. That's just, it's just letting it out there, and it's, you know, just, you know, authentically from your heart, I want to share this. But even if you want to share more in a business way, it's like you have to have that. It's like a seed. It's like you have to get to know people through those, you know, free shares that will help them, even if it's in a small way. And then maybe they can go deeper if they want to.
Exactly. Well, I think it allows people to find out what your energy is like and whether they resonate with you or not. Because we all have different energies, and, you know, what it's like art. Not everybody likes the same art because we have different tastes, different things that resonate with us. And that's why there's so many amazing things out there, because there's everybody's creating what resonates for them. And it's the same with, you know, working with people. You got to make sure it's the right energy for you.
Yeah, this is true.
So.
Awesome. Well, Joshi, thank you for coming on the show.
Yeah. Thank you so much for having me. I appreciate it, Addie.
This concludes the Studio Alchemy podcast. May these thoughts and stories comfort and heal your spirit. May you be filled with inspiration. May you be like the lotus flower and build your home in the muddy water. May you find your voice.